I Saw Jim Crow in the Mirror by Louis Crewe Clay. I saw Jim Crow in the mirror and I did not like him. For 25 years I thought doors opened for me because of who I am, because of what I have achieved. Yeah, like the encyclopedias my parents bought me, like the prep school they sent me to, like the food our maid lovingly prepared. Glad that at least they let her steal enough food for her own family. Glad that riding only in the back seat, she could easily stash it under the laundry they told her they needed washed by tomorrow. I saw Jim Crow in the mirror, and I did not like him. I could have named 100 people I know who I thought more qualified to play that role. But there he was, staring me in the face. The spitting image of me. I thought I was free of racism because my ancestors were Quakers driven from England by 1640, because my grandfather would not join the Klan and stood down his brother-in-law, the head of the Alabama Klan. When I became a man, I had not yet seen Jim Crow in the mirror, or had not yet recognized him. My parents made sure that I, a carrot top, would never hear until fully grown that red-headed people are supposed to have hot tempers. Thus, knowing the stereotype, I would make of it a license to rage. So, too, they feared that I might glorify the Klan's propaganda if I spent time with my Klansman uncle's children, who believed they genuinely defended noble Southern traditions like honor, motherhood, and hospitality. Yeah, like leading the Klan in one of its worst years of lynching. Yeah, like not paying the colored a living wage. Yeah, like not allowing me as a child to call black people Mr. or Mrs. or calling or knowing their family names. I saw Jim Crow in the mirror when, already 25, I first encountered black folks who were educated more than I was. Over 100 of them interviewed with 3 of us whites for the same 50 jobs in Ghana, all 100 of the blacks with doctorates, mostly in animal science or agronomy, while I had only a master's in English and an undergraduate minor in Greek. Yet I got one of the jobs, because the British made the Ghanaians value Greek more than the farming skills Ghana sorely needed. I saw Jim Crow in the mirror and winced when I thought of how much I might have to pay if held accountable for all the free labor, all the property, all the spoils slavery had bequeathed me, without my ever having to dirty my white hands or trouble my conscience one whit as I hummed Negro spirituals or danced to jazz or merely winced when the Adams boys burned the Freedom Rider bus in my hometown or put itching powder on the stage when Nat King Cole sang in Birmingham, or when Mother and the other ladies at the Knox Music Club mocked Mrs. Roosevelt as a misguided Yankee do-gooder. I saw Jim Crow in the mirror and did not like it when the best he could do was straighten his tie, brush his coat, and move away with all his privileges to the North, then to England, then I saw Jim Crow when, at last, I realized, it's awfully convenient to be a slow learner, that I'm part of the problem, not of the solution, that the drama is not about me, but about justice and fairness and kindness, about all of which I have been digressing. I saw that only as Jim Crow can I play out the role I inherited and integrate, can be in solidarity with the marvelous human race. One smile, one kindness, one friendship, one shared vulnerability, one act of grace at a time.